Good morning. Glad to have you with us. We appreciate your presence, and we appreciate the interest you've shown thus far today, and the singing has been wonderful, and I've enjoyed talking with folks. I was a little concerned earlier. Amanda brought me a Werther's piece of candy. It was coffee-flavored, and I thought, okay, either my breath stinks or she thinks I need another dose of caffeine. always bothers me when somebody offers me something like that. Cause, I mean, last night was Saturday. I took my bath, so we're glad that you are with us. We have some guests with us, and we want them to know that they are always welcome at any time they have the opportunity, and we appreciate seeing our regular folks. This lesson is not really based on a particular scripture, and that's why I had reader's choice on the sermon schedule in the lobby, and I think even in the bulletin. I'm not sure, but Hayden picked a wonderful passage of scripture to read. There's not a passage of scripture that, I mean, he couldn't go wrong as long as he read from the Bible, but That was a good passage, and one that is very relevant for us because it talks about being honest with ourselves. It talks about being doers of what the Bible says and not just hearers. It's one thing to sit in assembly such as this and shake our head and amen the preacher or whatever. Like, yes, that's what we need to do. That's the way things ought to be done. We need to be doing things Bible ways and calling Bible things by Bible names. And then we leave the assembly and go back out into the world and forget everything that we talked about. And it can happen to anybody. I mean, a lot of folks do it. I mean, elders, preachers, members, it doesn't matter. We're all humans and we all are part of the human condition, I guess they call it. But this is encouraging us to be honest with ourselves. I remember the late lamented brother Frank Higginbotham, when he discussed this passage. Some of you will remember the Fonz. Yeah. Well, you remember the Fonz. He'd get his comb out of his pocket and he'd look in the mirror and it was, hey, he didn't have to do anything because his hair was perfect. But for normal people, sometimes we look in the mirror and we can always usually see something that, you know, our glasses need to be straightened or maybe our nose is shiny or our hair is not perfect. And so we have to make changes. But the fellow that's described here, he looks in the mirror and says, oh my hair's messed up. I need a shave and I got dirt on my nose. And then he just goes on and forgets, you know, what a disheveled mess he was. And a lot of people approach the Bible with the same way. I need to get right with God. I need to be on the straight and narrow. And oh my, I got to quit drinking and I got to quit fornicating and I got to quit lying and I got to quit gambling. And then we're just not that interested. But being a Christian is more than just being amenable to a set of rules. The commandments of Scripture are more than just a list of requirements that we have to check off on a box, and then maybe God will give us a gold star and let us in heaven someday. Christianity is a life that is centered on the greatest event in history. And I'm speaking of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Were it not for the resurrection, we would be of all men most miserable, having hope only in this life. But we long for the day when that hope becomes realized and heaven will be our home. And so as God's children, as Christians, we have an existence beyond this life that is far greater than anything we could ever imagine. And so with some of these comments in mind, I want to talk about some things that we need to do from a scriptural standpoint, yes, but also a very practical standpoint. And these are things that all of us can probably do to a greater or lesser degree. Some things that may be needed in our lives, some things we just maybe need reminded of. And the first one is to wake up. Wake up. Now, there's a passage of scripture in Psalm 118 that is often misapplied. People will, and I see people on Facebook or somebody will post us, and it doesn't matter what day it is, they'll say, hey, this is a day that the Lord has made. We'll rejoice and be glad in it. And while it is true that every day is a day that the Lord has given us, the specific day in that context is the Christian age. It's not just an individual day. But I'm going to go with the flow on this because I don't believe it's a unscriptural or anti-scriptural. But each day that we wake up is a gift from God. It's a day that we have an opportunity to do something for the Lord, to do something for somebody who may be outside of Christ, who is living their lives oblivious to the peril that they face in the hereafter. Maybe it's a day that God has given us to encourage a brother or sister in Christ who may be struggling with depression, with illness, with a relationship problem, with problems at work or at school. What it boils down to is our attitude. We wake up each day, and usually within the first 5 minutes, we can decide if we're going to have a good day or a bad day. We can decide that whatever bad happens, we'll deal with and we'll go on. Or we can take a defeatist attitude and decide, well, the first bad thing that happens, I'm just going to throw in the towel and then I'm going to be irritable the rest of the day. Attitude. How we react to situations and circumstances affects our faith, and it reflects our faith. A story was told of a shoe salesman who was sent to Africa. And he sent a telegram home after a week or two, and he said, situation hopeless, nobody here wears shoes. So they sent another salesman. And in a couple of days, they received a telegram from him. Unlimited potential, nobody has shoes. And the only difference was the difference in attitude. So sometimes we just need to wake up with the attitude that God has blessed me with this day, and I'm going to make the most of it. Second thing we can do is dress up. My mom used to tell me that a smile was the best way to increase my face value. And it's an inexpensive way to improve your looks. You know, it takes more muscles in your face to frown than it does to smile. We need to dress up our lives sometimes. This comes with dressing up our attitude. We can walk around with that sour, gloomy Gus look on our face. My dad describes a look that my mom got on her face one time. Dad took mom deer hunting. And some of you will understand this, some of you won't, I suppose. But dad found a persimmon tree. And the persimmons were nice and round and plump. And he pulled one off and gave it to Mom. Now, if you've never had one of those nice, big, round, plump persimmons, just imagine taking a spoonful of alum and putting it in your mouth. I mean, it'll turn your lips wrong side out. You don't want to eat a persimmon until the frost has shriveled them up and they look horrible. Then they're delicious. But Dad described the look on Mom's face of just sheer terror and horror as she is trying to decide whether she's going to swallow this thing or spit it out. We need to see things the way the Lord sees things. See things. The Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. 1 Samuel 16:7. Now, I want you to remember this. If you don't get anything else out of this lesson, remember this. Not everything that Christians experience is delightful. But Christians have every reason to be delighted. We have an amazing promise from an awesome God, and we need to reflect on that promise daily. When things look the darkest, when things look the bleakest, we have to remember that God, through Christ, has promised us an eternal home in heaven. And regardless of what we have to experience in this life, heaven will be bliss for eternity. It never ends. It doesn't stop. It can't be spent. It can't be used up. It just goes on and on. So live your life in such a way, dress up your life in such a way, that sinners want what you have. That's the greatest thing we can do. We need to put on our spiritual clothing as well. From Ephesians 6:13, verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And then jumping down to verse 13, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Live your lives according to the Word. Pattern your lives. Don't be squeezed into the world's mold. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Romans 12:2. Thirdly, sometimes we need to shut up. I believe it was Will Rogers that said something to the effect of, never pass up an opportunity to keep your mouth shut. The Proverbs writer said, he that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. James talked about the tongue being an unruly evil that no man can tame. And there's a lot of accuracy in that, a lot of truth in that. For some reason, the mouth has the ability to engage 3 or 4 seconds before the brain does. And so we often say things that we immediately wish we hadn't said. I've done it. I've done it in this pulpit. I've done it in casual conversation. But we need to think about what we say. That's a lesson I could learn from my dad yet, because I think dad had everything thought out before he spoke. He didn't talk a whole lot, but when he did, it was worth listening to. James said, wherefore, my beloved brethren, Let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Swift to hear. We get that order mixed up. Do you ever catch yourself when you're listening to somebody, you're listening more with the idea of how you're going to respond than actually absorbing what the person is saying? I do that sometimes, and it irritates me. Because they're talking, and I'm thinking, okay, they're saying something nice, so I'm going to respond with it. And when I need to just shut up and listen, shut up in my mind, and listen to what they say. It's the difference between listening to learn or listening just to reply. We need to listen to learn. Now, it may not be information that is going to be important for you the rest of your life, but if your spouse is saying something to you, you need to listen and learn what is on your spouse's mind. Maybe you disagree with it. You can talk about it, but listen so you can respond intelligently. The old joke where the guy comes into work one morning and says, "My wife got mad at me. She says, 'You haven't heard a thing I said, have you?'" And I thought, well, that's a funny way to start a conversation. Think about it. We need to listen to learn. Peter said, "He that loveth life and seeth good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile." No deceitfulness, 1 Peter 3 and verse 10. Of course, I'm sure you've heard this one. There's somebody a lot smarter than me come up with this one. But the fact that God gave us two ears and one mouth suggests we should listen twice as much as we talk. I'm working on it. Fourth, as children of God, we need to stand up. Stand up for what we believe. Stand up for what the Scripture says. Aaron Tippin had a song out a long time ago, said, "You got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything." I don't remember the rest of the song, but that line is true. Let us not be weary in well-doing. Don't get tired of doing the right thing. Stand up for what is right. Don't acquiesce to less than God's high and holy standard. We won a great victory here recently when the Supreme Court did a side with Roe v. Wade. But the fight's not over. They think, we'll appease maybe. Maybe we'll appease those rabble-rousing pro-lifers. But the fight's not over because states have the right. Now we just move from the federal level to the state level. Keep standing up for what is right. Keep standing up against this woke joke stuff that's going on. If it's a man, use masculine pronouns. If it's a woman, use feminine pronouns. Don't allow yourselves to be led to lie by calling him she or her he. Because when we do that, we are lying. And I don't care what they say they identify as, they're already lying. Stand up. Contend earnestly for the gospel, for the truth of God's word, Jude 3. Fifth, look up. I know several of you pray many times a day. There's never a time when it's inappropriate to, in our minds, look up to God in prayer. To look up to God for an example. To look up to God for strength. We look up to God for forgiveness. We look up to God for a way to get through the day. Or to get through the night. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me, Philippians 4:13. And Colossians 3:1-2, and I love every word in the Bible, but this passage just resonates with me on so many levels. If ye then be risen with Christ, if you're a Christian, seek, that's in the present tense, be seeking the things which are above where Christ sits. And then set your affection on those things above. Seek the things of Christ, and then set your affection on those things. Jesus says this is a good thing to do, I'm going to do it. Jesus said I should not do this, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to set my affections on the words of Jesus. I know some of us have red letter Bibles where the spoken words of Christ are in red. Brethren, the Bible ought to be red letters from Genesis 1 to Revelation, because it's all Christ. Set, place, install, erect your affections on the words of Christ. Reach up. Reach up for something higher. Christ raised the bar for us. Over in the Sermon on the Mount, and this isn't in your outline, it just occurred to me. But Jesus said, you have heard that it was said by them of old time, Matthew 5:21. You have heard them say of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger. Christ raised the bar. Down in verse 27, you've heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Verse 33, you have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, and thou shalt perform thine oath to the Lord. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it's God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. You see how Christ, you've heard what Moses said, but I say unto you, he raised the bar. We need to reach up for that something higher. We did good deeds today. Okay, let's do some more better. Some more good deeds tomorrow in a better way. You English teachers, just reach up for something higher. The Proverbs writer said, trust in Jehovah with all thine heart and lean not on thine own understanding. My own understanding, it's insufficient. Reach for something better. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Paul said, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling, or the upward call of Jesus Christ. He was reaching for something better. Paul compares himself here to a runner in a race. And it is important, I think it's important here to notice that Paul is eager and determined to win the prize. We all have to cross that finish line. It's not a matter of who crosses it first. It's a matter of if we cross it by becoming a child of God and by finishing that race, pressing, agonizing towards that goal. It's worth striving for. And then finally, lift up. We need to lift up our prayers. Be careful in nothing, or be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, praying for yourself, praying for others, and with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Not Mary, not some saint, not to grandpa and grandma who've passed on. Let your request be made known to Jehovah God. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he heareth the prayer of the righteous. And then Jesus said in Mark 11:24, wherefore I say unto you, whatsoever things ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. We might pray for what we think we need. Jesus will answer our prayer with what we actually need, whether it's what we thought we needed or not. Pray for wisdom so that we can understand these things. Attitude is everything. I read a story of a fellow who, I can't remember if he fell off of a ladder or fell out of a man lift or something, but he fell from a pretty great height. Probably should have killed him, but it broke nearly every bone in his body. And they rushed him to the hospital, and they're working on him feverishly. I mean, they're trying to assess broken bones, internal bleeding, you name it. And it's a mad rush, nurses, doctors, people, and they're asking him questions, and they're rushing, they're getting IVs in him, and they said, are you allergic to anything? And he said, yes. And everybody just stopped. And they said, what are you allergic to? He said, gravity. The doctors and the nurses were just, they couldn't believe it. I mean, here's a guy in terrible shape, and, you know, he still had a sense of humor. I'd like to think I could be that guy. Probably not. I know me. You know, Tina will tell you, when I get a cold, I think I need to go in ICU, so. But our attitude will do a lot for us. And it can do a lot against you if you let your attitude slide away from you. Decide, like that Shunammite woman in 2 Kings 4, that regardless of what happens, that you will be able to say, it is well. You remember the story? Her son died, and she rushed to the prophet, and the prophet sent his spokesman, said, is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with thy son? And she said each time, it is well. Even though her son had just died. She knew God was in control. Decide, my brethren and friends, that no matter what happens to you, you are going to do all you can to make heaven your home. Nothing else matters. It doesn't matter what you gain in this life. If you lose heaven, you've lost it all. So this morning, if you're not a Christian, I want to encourage you to think seriously about your eternal soul, to think seriously about what you know you need to do. And if you don't know what you need to do, excuse me, if you don't know what you need to do, let me tell you, listen here, from the words of Jesus. Believe that Jesus is the Son of God, John 8:24. Repent, that is, change your life, change your attitude, change your actions. Because unless you repent, you will perish just like everyone else, Luke 13:3. Be willing to confess Lord Jesus with your lips, Matthew 10:32, and with your life. And so you can have your sins forgiven, that you may enter heaven, be immersed, baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sins, Mark 16:16, Acts 2:38. Be faithful unto death, and you'll receive that crown of life, and you will be lifted up where Christ sits on the right hand of God, Revelation 2:10. If you need to repent and you need to come back, be restored to the fellowship of the saints, rededicate your life to the Lord, this is a wonderful time and opportunity. And we encourage you, whatever your need might be, take a seat on the front row, and we will assist you right now as we stand together and sing.